Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. The book of Joshua in chapter number 3. We're at the very beginning part of a series we are calling The Period of the Judges. And in this series, we're taking the book of Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1 Samuel, and we're placing it in chronological order, meaning the order that it happened in history, that how the events occurred in history to kind of show the context of it. And remember, as we go through the book of Joshua, Joshua is themed the book of victory. The book of victory. And in the book of Joshua, we see the victories that God gives us over and over and over. And as we begin Joshua, I've already explained that Joshua 1 through 5 is the preparation in order to receive the victories, the preparation in order to cross the Jordan River and to go to that victorious Christian life, to see those victories. And so as we find our way to Joshua chapter 3, we're still in the preparatory phases. We're preparing to see the victories over and over. And in Joshua chapter 3, and then by the way, this is a two-part message. We see the continuation tonight, and tonight is going to be amazing. I'm just giving that thing now. This morning's going to be good, but tonight is going to be amazing. You need to be here tonight to see some things that would be just floor you to see about the goodness of God and how great God is. But look with me, if you wouldn't mind, in the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 1. And notice what the Word of God says in Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Word of God says this: "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, or the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way which you must go, for ye have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water, ye shall stand in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Gashgites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters as they come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bear the ark, were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all its banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is, beside Zeraton. And those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all of the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan. And if you wouldn't mind, will you mark a phrase that is found in Joshua chapter 3? Joshua chapter 3, a phrase that's implied all throughout this passage here. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 14. Notice the phrase in the middle of it, pass over Jordan. Pass over Jordan. And this whole chapter deals with this idea of them beginning to pass over Jordan. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the great privilege it is to have a Bible, to read about this. I thank you that as we go through this story, it's not a mythology. It's not a great fairy tale. This is history. This actually occurred. And that we can go back and see what occurred. And we can see the mighty God that we serve. The God who's able to do miracles. The God that we can trust and depend on for ourselves. I'm asking, Lord, that you would open this up in a special way, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would get across what you need to get across today to prepare our hearts to receive the victory you desire to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The book of Joshua chapter 3 covers an historical event of the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River. Now, for some of those who get to know me, I am not big on typology. There are some people who take types and they run with it so far that they seem to give the Bible a mysterious meaning. And people start looking for the mysterious meanings rather than the literal truth. I am not one of those people. I take the Bible literally as much as possible. Now I understand that there are times that the Bible says that this is a picture. This is a representative. That we could see this as an overview of of what God wants us to have. The book of Joshua is the picture of victory, and we see that in the Canaan land. When they go into the promised land, the Canaan land, it is not a picture of heaven. It is a picture of the victorious Christian life. You say, preacher, how can you say that? It's not a picture of heaven. Don't we cross the valley of shadow of death and enter into the land he promised us? No, that's not a picture of heaven. You know why? Because in heaven, there's no more fighting. In Joshua, there are plenty of fights. It is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And remember, the Christian life can be summed up like this, building and battling. But we don't put our attention on the building and battling. We put our attention on the victory Jesus gives us. And that's what we see in the book of Joshua. We see the victorious Christian life. Now, in order to get to the victorious Christian life, they do have to cross the Jordan River. And if you were going to put a picture, if you're going to put something into it, the Jordan River, again, the Bible gives indication of this, so it's not me making it up. It represents them dying to self to allow God to give them the victory. It is God that gives the victory, not us. But when they're crossing the Jordan River, it is a picture of dying to self. And I want to tell you, dear friend, that we are full of building and battling. But in order to consistently have the victorious Christian life, you cannot do it. You must die to yourself, your ambitions, your goals, and you allow God to lead you through. You allow God to give you the miracles. You allow God to do it all. And that's what we see here. And I want you to keep that in mind as we go through the entire book of Joshua. And then when we go to the book of Judges, that it's the absence of victories because they're no longer trusting the Lord. They're trusting themselves. But during the book of Joshua, victory after victory after victory, because they die to themselves and allow God to give them the victory. So when we come to this idea of passing Jordan, if you might remember in the book of Exodus, it only had a small passage of them crossing the Red Sea and crossing over. It was a big event that they talked about it for thousands of years afterwards, but it was only a small passage. Here, two entire chapters are dedicated to them passing over Jordan. This is a big deal that God wanted to emphasize and put attention to, of them crossing Jordan. And so this morning we're going to cover chapter 3. In chapter 4, they're continuing still crossing Jordan River with more of an emphasis. And so both of these are together. God is putting a big emphasis on this crossing the Jordan River, which once again is a picture of us dying to self to go to the promised land, to that victorious Christian life. And we want victorious Christian life. We want to have victories in our life. And in order to do that, let's see this passage and see some things that God emphasizes for us. First of all, there's the preparation to pass over Jordan. There's a preparation to pass over Jordan. Notice, if you don't mind, in Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 1. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. If you don't mind, may I just hit a little side note here? That Joshua rose up early. You know, if we are going to expect to have victory in our life, it starts off with a disciplined life. He didn't sleep in and then hit his alarm a couple times and finally was running late because he hit his alarm for a full hour. He rose up early in the morning. Do you know that there's a discipline to the Christian life? If you don't have discipline in your life, you're not going to see consistent victories. You say, what do I mean by that? Well, if you haven't disciplined yourself to read your Bible consistently every day, it's going to be hard to expect victories. If you haven't disciplined yourself to wake up on Sunday morning, now I'm talking to the Sunday morning crowd, right? But to wake up early, to prepare to go to church, to prepare for what you have in your day. I mean, there is a discipline. You know, they've even done studies of discipline for people who make their bed every day. You should make your bed every day. I'm not going to ask a thing of hands of who made their bed. I made my bed this morning, but there's a discipline. Just small things help build a disciplined life that prepares you for victory. If you have an undisciplined life, it's going to be hard to see those victories. This is a key. And just preparing to have victory, there's a discipline to it. We see this as this preparation to pass over Jordan. It begins, Joshua rose up early. He was ready to respond, ready to hear. He was prepared. He wasn't running late. It is hard to see victory in your day when you wake up late and you didn't get your coffee, you didn't get your whatever else, and you wake up to work and you're barely there and you're zombieing it. It's hard to run your day like that. We've all had days like that, and you don't feel very victorious at the end of your day after that. We understand there is a discipline, and we should always be working on being more disciplined in our life. Good, I didn't mean to spend that much time there, but the Lord knew, so that works. Notice as it goes on, they start giving requirements, instructions to the people in this preparation to pass over Jordan. Notice verse number 2. And it came to pass after 3 days. Now remember in chapter 1, he said, in 3 days we're going to pass over Jordan. You need to prepare for it. You need to set aside food. You need to get ready to go. You need to take care of your affairs. In 3 days we're leaving. So in 3 days, just like they said, now it's time to go. And after 3 days they give instructions. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. So here's the instructions. They sent people through the host. Now, again, let's remind you, it's not a roving band. It is 2.5 million people. Communication is important, that everyone understands what's going on. So they sent leadership to go through that so no one was missed. And here's the instructions. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, remember, this is a picture, represents the presence of God. God is already there, but they have the Ark of the Covenant and the priests that are bearing it. When you see the priests start moving and they take the Ark of the Covenant and they go through the mist, you pack up your stuff, or they should be already ready to go, and you follow them. Now, they gave more instructions, verse number 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. So between the people and the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way before. Now, this is practical advice. They're going somewhere where they have not traveled yet. And so they want a space between the Ark of the Covenant and the people, so that way they have enough time to prepare to move, to prepare to see where to go, instead of tailgating it, right? We understand tailgating. So don't ride the bumper. Give lots of space, because it takes a lot to move 2.5 people, right? You could go in a line for so far, but if you're going to move, it takes a little bit of coordination. It takes a little bit of awareness if you're going to turn 2.5 people to move to. So this is practical advice. And so they're giving instructions. Don't get so close. Stay far away from it. Be aware of your surroundings. Understand what's happening. You haven't gone this way before. We don't need a traffic jam. We don't need a 50 car pileup. We need space so you could prepare, so you know where you're going. Give some space. Be on a lookout. Be watching where you're going. Understanding where things are at. That's practical advice, isn't it? Verse number 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So Joshua comes and gives the last order. His last order is to sanctify yourselves. The word sanctify carries the idea to make holy in this sense here. It is to prepare yourself. It is to make sure that you're clean. Make sure you're right. Why? Tomorrow you're going to see some wonders. God is going to do something miraculous. And so you need to be prepared to see what God is going to do. Your heart needs to be right with God, so that way you can see what God is going to do. Have you ever met someone who wants to be angry? Someone who wants to be upset? And no matter what you tell them, I meant they want to be angry. You could tell them how good things. You could tell them, hey, you just won the lottery. And they still, I don't. It doesn't matter. They're determined to be grumpy. They're determined. Joshua is telling them, hey, we're going to see victory tomorrow. You make sure your heart is right. So wait, when the victory comes, you could recognize it. You could rejoice. You could engage in it. You could celebrate with it. You know, sometimes we miss the things that God is doing because our hearts aren't right. We're so self-absorbed. We're thinking about our problems. And I understand we have legitimate things. Some of us have pain. And those pain, we could be so overwhelmed with pain that we can't see anything else. We're just looking at ourselves, how bad we hurt. Some people, it's not physical pain. Somebody, it's emotional pain that you're hurting because someone broke your heart. And you're so self-absorbed and you're looking at the thing and you miss the things God is doing all around. We have to prepare our hearts. We have to sanctify ourselves. We have to make sure that our hearts are right, so that way we can recognize God working. I could just imagine. We all know people, Mr. Grumpy Pants, the guy that has the cloud over him and just raining. You ever see that? You've met people like that, that as soon as they walk in the room, the whole atmosphere changes. I can imagine the guy, Mr. Grumpy Pants, who comes and God parts the Jordan River. They're crossing on dry land and he's still finding fault. Well, he should have done it this way. Well, that's not right. And he's not seeing the victory. God could do something amazing before him, but because he's determined to be grumpy, because he's determined to be self-absorbed, because he's determined to find fault, determined to criticize, he's not enjoying the victories that God does. If we're going to expect to have a victorious Christian life, there should be a preparation within our own hearts to receive it, to recognize it, to enjoy it. There is a work there in preparing us to see the victories. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. So Joshua said, all right, guys, let's go. Now, he didn't give any instructions to the priest. He didn't say what was going to happen to them yet. He says, grab the Ark and let's go. And so they grab the Ark of the Covenant. Now, by the way, the Ark of the Covenant is a big golden chest. It has gold ordinated around it. It's carried by two big staffs on it. Now, according to what God said, they're not allowed to touch the Ark of the Covenant with their hand, and it's not allowed to ride on a wagon or a car. It has to be hand carried. And by the way, this weighs over 150 pounds. So they said, all right, guys, who's the people carrying it? You get the great privilege of carrying it. Congratulations. Grab it. Let's go. So they lift up, ready, one, two, three, and they lift it up. They can't touch it. They can only carry the staves. Let's go. You follow me. 150 pounds. You're going to carry it for a while, and we're going to see how long they're going to carry it between today and tonight. But they pick it up, and they carry, and they start going. And they don't know where they're going. They're following their leader. They just know that they picked it up, and let's go. And as they start going, the rest of the crowd, 2.5 million people, start following after them. But before they started obeying, there was prep work. There was a preparation. There was a discipline to it. There was a coordination. They were told that you'd had to prepare your hearts. All right, now we've given you time. Let's go. The second thing I'd like to show you in this passage is the instructions for passing Jordan. The instructions for passing Jordan. So the priests grab the Ark of the Covenant and they start going. And as they go, the instructions are given about what's going to occur. Notice with me in chapter number 3 in verse number 7. Notice with me verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So God starts by telling Joshua, he says, all right, Joshua, this is it. Now, today, everyone's going to see that I'm with you. Everyone's going to see is that the same God of Moses is your God, Joshua. Let's go. Verse number 8. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Now, this is a little bit different. If you might remember the story in Exodus when God parted the Red Sea, what happened is that God had Moses raise his staff and the waters parted before the people ever touched the water. This is different. The priests who are carrying this 150-pound Ark of the Covenant, they are told they are to actually walk into the water. So while there's still water there, they're going to walk into the water, and then it's not until they're in the water that God is going to part it. You see, this is an element of faith now. God never done it this way before. This is something different. Now, this is it really going to happen? Is it really going to work? Take one step in there. How do you like to be the lead priest now? Carrying a 150-pound thing where the Jordan is overflowing its bank. So it's not just a river, it's overflowing river. Everyone has to step in it, carrying this 100-pound thing while the water is coming. That's an element of faith. Is this guy crazy or is this going to work? Is this really going to happen? I mean, it's one thing to have it part before you get there. Now to be told it's not going to part until you're actually in the water, this is something different. And so he's telling this, by the way, as they go, all right, guys, we're going to the river. Joshua, there's water there. I know you're going to get into it, and it's not until you get into it, then it's going to part. Yes, sir. Remember, I told you last Sunday night that the preacher may tell you something that may not make sense, that may sound crazy. You have to make a decision beforehand. All right, as long as you're following the Lord, preacher, we're going to follow you. Well, this is part of it. They made that decision. All right, Joshua. All right, Joshua says, get into the water, and when you get into the water, everyone's in the water, all the priests holding it, then it's going to part, all right? Then he gives instructions to the rest of the people. Notice in verse number 9, And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. Aren't you glad that he is a living God? That he's not a dead God. He lives. I serve a risen Savior. Now he says, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you and that he will without fail. You know what he's doing? He's preparing them for victory. God is showing himself real and alive before they hit the first battle. He says, I want you to know that you could go to the battles knowing God's going to give you the victory by this very first miracle I'm going to do. Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into the Jordan. Now again, he told the priests that the water is not going to part. What he's telling until they get into it, he turns to the people and he says, all I want you to do is follow the ark of the covenant. The ark of the covenant is now going into the Jordan River. You follow them. Now, Joshua never told the people the water is going to part. He told the priest, but he just told the priest just now. But he tells the people, you follow. Now, that's one thing to be told to the priest that when you get into the Jordan River, it's going to part. But to the rest of the people, he didn't say it was going to part. He says, you follow the priest as they go into the Jordan River. You follow after them. You go right behind them. Okay, crazy preacher. All right, we promised you that as long as you're following the Lord, we're going to follow you. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know, preacher. It doesn't sound like it's going to work. Sure, that someone may have said that in their heart, right? At least they're not part of a Baptist church like today where they would say that, right? But all right. But that's what he said. You just follow them. They're going to go into the Jordan. You follow them. And God is going to prove that he is going to defeat all your foes. He's going to do it now. All you do by faith. You don't know what's going to happen. You just follow and watch God work. God is going to prove himself. Isn't this good stuff? It's going to be even better tonight when he come tonight. Notice. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel and out of every tribe a man. Now, this sounds kind of out of context because it kind of just does this verse. He pauses and says, all right, each tribe give 12 men, have them report to me. I'll tell you later. And I'll tell you why tonight. But he says, all right, give me 12 guys, line them up over here. I'm going to set them aside. I'll tell them what I'm going to do with them later. Just give me 12 guys. Do it now so that way you don't have to fight later on who's going to go. Get it now, and then I'm going to use them. All right, so give the 12 people. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest the waters of Jordan, and the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand on a heap. Now Joshua finally tells them, he says, give me 12 guys. Oh, by the way, I know you guys were worrying and fretting. Let me tell you what's going to happen. That as soon as the priests get into the Jordan River, what's going to happen is that the Jordan River is going to part. And it's going to be cut off from those that come from above. Now he's not talking from above. The source of the Jordan River is Mount Hermon, which you can see pretty much all from all of Israel. Doesn't matter where you're at, Jerusalem, you could see Mount Hermon. And this is the source of the flowing of the Jordan River. And he says, we're cutting it off from its source, from where it's gathered up. What's going to happen? The Jordan River is going to dry up and it's going to be an amazing thing. So you follow. So we see, first of all, the preparation for passing over Jordan. Then we see the instructions for passing Jordan. Now we see them actually obeying the priest leading passing over Jordan. The priest leading as they pass over Jordan. Notice with me in verse number 14. And it came to pass. Someone said that was their favorite verse in all the Bible. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. This too shall pass. Well, it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they bear the ark which come into Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all of its banks at the time of harvest. So it's their harvest time, by the way. Our harvest time is in the fall. This is about April, April 13th, if you're going to put a date around it. April 10th, somewhere around there. So their harvest is spring, by the way. And it's a time where the snow is melting on Mount Hermon and the waters are overflowing. So it's not just the regular river. It's an overflowing river at this time. And so they come and they cross into the Jordan River. The people, the priests step in there. How would you like to be the first one to step in there? The waters are cold, by the way. The snow is melting. It's making all that river. It's overflowing. And so the first priest, you know, sticks his pinky toe in there. And, you know, all right, guys, here we go. And they step in there carrying a 150-pound Ark of the Covenant. They step into there and an amazing thing occurs. Notice, and as they that bear the ark come into the Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all of his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which were down from above stood and rose on a heap very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zeratin. And those that came towards the salt towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people were over right against Jericho. Now in 16, it gives geography. It gives the city of Adam. So it says that it was very far from the city of Adam. Where they're at near Jericho, the city of Adam is 16 miles towards the north. And beyond that is going to be Mount Hermon. So what happened is that the river just didn't part either side, but it parted 16 miles plus upriver. Notice the reaction. This city, this water dries up. This river that had been running, it's overflowing its banks. It's normal time of overflowing. All of a sudden stands up in its heap 16 plus miles away. And what happens? Everyone in the area watches this river dry up. Notice this. In verse number 17. Verse number 16 again. And the waters which were down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, which is beside Zeratin. And those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed. So here it's talking about those inhabitants of the land that are in between what we call the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. All of them are watching, maybe some guy's washing his dishes or some lady's washing his dishes and looking outside, looking at the river, beautiful river thing. And all of a sudden, the river dries up. What in the world? They all go out and they look. The whole river is dried up 16 miles away. And everyone who lives in that area between the Sea of Galilee to the Salt Sea, which is a big expanse, by the way, the Jordan River in its full entirety with all of its twists and turns runs 225 miles. It only runs 125 miles as the crow flies, but it has so many twists and turns on it. But all of this dries up. It just doesn't do on either side. It dams up, way up, and it dries up the entire river all the way going to the Salt Sea, to the Dead Sea. 225 miles. And people are going out and going, what just happened? We know the children of Israel have dried up the Red Sea. We know that they're coming. Notice what it uses. It says, those that came down towards the Sea of the Plain, even the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. This idea of failed means they quit. That means they looked down and their heart was broken. Inside of them, they said, we've lost. How can we fight against a God who dried up this whole river? You see, God is already telling everyone else, victory is coming for these people over here. You don't have a fighting chance. You're stuck. This whole river that the people were watching overflowed, dammed up. And you know, it just so happened that when the priest put their feet on there, I was thinking about the coordination of this, that all of a sudden the priest standing in there and the river dries up around them as they're standing there. Isn't that great timing of the Lord? You know, God pretty much had to dam up the river a little while before the priest stepped on there. And it just so happened when they got there, the river finally just dried up right then and there. Wow, what a great God. And the people all go, wow. You know, it's one thing to have, it's a pretty big thing to have the Red Sea on either side. But he dried up the river to give a warning to everyone on the other side of Jordan. God's coming and victory is coming. And the people are afraid, very afraid. 17, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all of the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. By the way, in order for this to occur, in order for the people to cross over in 8 hours, they would have to go through about 2,000 people across. They were crossing Jordan for a space about 2 to 3 miles. That's how many people were crossing. 2 to 3 miles of people crossing Jordan in 8 hours. That's what it would take. Wow. By the way, the good stuff's tonight. You need to come tonight. We got even more stuff tonight, but that's amazing. And God is preparing them. And they're watching, and God said, prepare your heart, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow you're going to see wonders. That is a wonder. That is an amazing thing. You know why they needed to see this wonder, by the way? Because remember, 40 years of wilderness wandering had killed the previous generation. There was a previous generation who saw the Red Sea, and all these people heard was their parents' stories about what God had done. You know what we understand here is that we can't live off our parents' faith. We can't live off the faith of those that came before us. You can't live off my faith. Every generation has to learn to live by faith for themselves. By the same way as going to heaven. Do you know you're not going to heaven because your parents called themselves a Christian? You don't go to heaven because you are part of a church that calls itself Christian. You don't go to heaven because someone gave you a Bible. In order to go to heaven, you yourself must understand that you are a sinner. And because of your sin, you've offended a holy, righteous God. But you must realize that God loved you so much, He died for you. And dear friend, this is important. You must personally accept Jesus to be your Savior. You're not going to heaven because your husband or your wife is going to heaven. You have to live off your own faith. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, the greatest thing that can happen to you today is wonder of wonders for you to accept Jesus as your own personal Savior. Please don't depend on someone else's faith. Depend on your own faith. Come to experience Jesus for yourself. The Bible says in Psalms, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. What does it mean to taste and see? It means to experience it for yourself. Have you ever someone tell you what something tasted like? Oh, I ate this and it was so, I had a juicy cheeseburger and you put into it and it just squirted on the side and the bacon was so tender. Well, it's one thing to hear someone else describe it. It's something else when you experience it for yourself. The same thing's true about God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know, it's one thing for someone else to describe what being a Christian is like. You need to experience it for yourself. And if you've never come to the place where you personally ask Jesus to be your Savior, let me encourage you to taste and see that the Lord is good. See for yourself. Don't depend on someone else telling you about it. You meet Jesus for yourself. And in just a moment, we would love to take the Bible and show you how you can experience God personally for yourself. But every generation must experience God for themselves. It must be personal themselves. The same thing's true about the victorious Christian life. You can't depend on victories of someone who's gone before. You can't depend on victories of your folks. You must have for yourself a pioneering spirit, meaning that you go and yourself and see the victories of God. You must live for yourself. By the way, that's also true about the past. You could always go back in the good old days. Do you remember the good old days when people got saved? You remember? I remember 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago when this happened and we had the greatest services. We shouldn't live off the faith of the past. We need to once again get a brand new sense of what God can do now. God is not dead. He has not lost his power. And that's one of the things that God is proving right here. That the God of Moses is the God of Joshua. And he has not lost his power. He still has the ability. He can still do miracles. And by the way, that same God is our God. And he still hasn't lost power. It's still available. We can still watch God work. But we must believe God by faith for ourselves. This is the preparation. Before we can have victory, dear friend, we must personally be willing to live on faith for ourselves. Not depend on your past faith. Not depend on faith of others. Not the faith of your pastor or the former pastor or your favorite preacher. You must for yourself. If you're going to have your own victorious Christian life, you must experience God for yourself and know that he is real and that he is able and that he wants to work. By the way, there's a decision there to sanctify your hearts, to prepare to see the victory. Are you willing to, by faith, say, I believe the greatest days of this church are still ahead? And look forward to seeing what God is going to do. And say, God, I'm looking forward to it. Let's go for it. We want this next year to be the greatest year ever so far. We want the next year after that to be greater in the next year. But we have to plan for it. We have to prepare. We have to prepare our own hearts. We have to be willing to live by faith for ourselves. Remember, there is no victory without the building and battling. Let me tell you, there's going to be building and there's going to be battling. And those aren't necessarily fun, but they're necessary to see the victory. And God will give us the victory if we step up by faith. It's either that or we hole up and say, I'm holding up till Jesus comes, just holding on. God wants us to have a victorious life, not a defeated life. There's a preparation for it. Are you prepared? Are you willing to step up by faith? Are you willing to follow the Lord? Are you willing to follow your preacher? Are you willing to step out and say, it may not make sense, but we're going to go anyways and watch God do his own work. Yeah. By the way, it wasn't Joshua who did this. And it wasn't the priest that did this. It was God that did this. And that's what we're depending on here. If you're looking at the preacher, please stop, because I don't want God to knock me off the pedestal. Keep your eyes on him. Don't put me on a pedestal. It's got to be God. It is God. It's got to be God. That's what we're trying to encourage him on. That we're preparing. That we're not getting the mopey disease and say, oh, it can't be done. It's not going to happen. We have to determine for ourselves that we're going to watch Lord work. We're going to prepare our own hearts. We're going to be obedient. We're going to discipline ourselves. But God wants to give victories in our life that is just as amazing as this Red Sea crossing. He's got great plans. He's got great things ahead. And I'm trying to encourage you that the greatest days of this church are still ahead. And that we have great victory. But there's going to be building and there's going to be battling. And you have to remember, I'm telling you before we get to the building and battling, that God is alive and that God wants to do something. Because, you know, sometimes in the midst of the battling, in the midst of the building, we'll get our eyes on the building and the battling, and we'll get them off the Lord, and we'll start to fret. will start to worry. We'll start to say, it can't be done. It's too hard. And start whining. And by the way, we will all get there. I'm trying to remind us now that God's alive. You remember when Jesus took his disciples and he put them on the ship and said, we're going to the other side. What did he mean when we're going to the other side? We're going to the other side. So in the midst of it, storms happen in the Sea of Galilee and it starts going. The disciples start panicking and Jesus is sleeping and they wake him up. And Jesus is saying, he rebukes him and says, where's your faith? Hey, I told you we're going to the other side. Guess what? We're going to the other side. We need to be reminded now that when we get through the storms and we get through the building and the battling, he said, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. The boat's not going to sink. You may think it is. It's not going to sink. The battle may look hopeless, but it's not. We have to keep our eyes on him. This is prep work before the victories. Before they ever get to their first fight, they have to be prepared in their hearts. They have to be reminded that God is able. But we have to live by faith for ourselves. You can't depend on anyone else's faith. You must choose for yourself to believe God for the future victories we're going to have. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.